Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, the Executive Director of Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for listening online to our programs, our stream, our podcast, our online on-demand audio. We appreciate you. Remember, KFUO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry, so we do rely on your support to continue. So please prayerfully consider making a gift today. You benefit from the programs, and you know how important it is to get the message out to the world. And that's what we do every day here at KFUO. For more information, you could call area code 314-996-1518 to talk to Mary, or 996-1520 to talk to Mark. Ask them about the different ways to give to the ministry of KFUO. Thank you in advance for your support. Also, tell your friends about us. Most important of all, pray for the ministry of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. And we have some old good news. Not that any news is ever old, but this is something that came up a few weeks ago that is a throwback and yet helps us look at something new again that we've had kind of under our belts for a long time. I have as my guest on the phone Pastor Brian Wolfmuller from Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. We're going to talk about hymnody as poetry in a new poem book that is he just published recently, which I believe you can download for free online. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you.
So tell me, you know, apparently you were just hanging out in a Facebook group somewhere and wrote a book.
That's great. I was visiting shut-ins. Let's see, this is a couple of days ago, and it was Advent. So I was singing this great Paul Gerhardt Advent hymn, O Lord, How Shall I Meet Thee? And I was singing the third stanza, and it struck me what an absolutely beautiful poem it is. I mean, aside from the great gifts that it gives, both theologically and related to the Lord's word, but it's simply beautiful words. This is the verse that really stuck in my head. It's the third stanza. I lay in fetters groaning, thou comest to set me free, or you come to set me free. I stood my shame bemoaning, you came to honor me. And then the next stanza says, love caused thy incarnation. Love brought thee down to me. Thy thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling our lost and fallen race. It's absolutely, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful text. And it occurred to me that this is great poetry. So I posted up on Facebook, take aside the music. What hymns have the best poem? What hymns are the best poetry? And in a couple of hours, I had 70 people had commented and left their favorite verses and stanzas and portions of hymns that they thought were the best pieces of poetry. Well, I couldn't sleep. I woke up early then the next morning, 4 a.m, thinking about this idea. And I said, you know, this should be a little book. So I got up and I took people's suggestions and I found the hymns that were in the public domain and I put them down and published them. And put it up on Lulu, a self-publishing book, and I put the thing so you can download it if you want to get it for free. And it's called My Song is Love Unknown, Poems of the Good, the Beautiful, and the True, drawn from the Church's song, according to my Facebook friends on the eve of St. Andrew's Day, 2016.
That's hilarious.
This is wild.
That's great. As a poetry major, that literally was my major in college, my BA, that title fits. It's like the way old school poetry books were titled. But what you got your finger on here and what you saw in the response is how valuable our hymnody is. And when we talk about this in whatever kind of fights people are having about what we should sing or how we should sing, it always seems to be focused on the music, the style of the music, you know, whether I like this song or that song. But so rarely do we emphasize what the real reason that we have song in the church at all is for the value of taking God's word and speaking it back to him in our own words, as if this truth can be translated and spoken again and again. And the hymns then themselves are these preachers from ancient times, given to give to us the gospel. And, you know, the one verse, let's just look at that one verse again. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me, right? So Jesus descending from heaven on high to be embodied for us. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. The idea that he thirsted, it made his throat dry to think about me going to hell Oh, love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling. Greater love is this, right? Our lost and fallen race. Who could fathom this? Who could explain it? And to take that and put it into language that is able to preach it in beauty, to lift up our emotions with the truth.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm not very good at poetry, but I know that as a Christian and as a pastor, I ought to be. I don't have the option of saying, oh, that's poetry, I'm going to let it go, because how much of the Psalms, how much of the preaching of the prophets would I have to let go? I mean, I prefer kind of narrative text.
But the scriptures come to us not just in narrative, but also in poetry. David teaches us to pray and to think poetically in the Psalms. When the prophets want to deliver their promises to the Lord's people, their threats and promises, they sing them, you know. And the church has always taken up the Lord's word and sung it in poetry, which is a way of combining together not only the things that are true, but also the things that are beautiful. Poetry is this condensed language that is best when it brings together what's good and what's beautiful and true, and that our minds would be shaped around that is a good thing. So I've been trying for a couple of years now to figure out how to engage with poetry in general. But what a better way to do it? Not by reading, you know, the Wordsworth and Longfellow and the secular poets, but by reading the Christian poets. And we have a treasure of these poems in our hymnody. So to pull out those poems, those hymns, which are the best poems, and to meditate on them as poems, to listen for the imagery, to listen to the words and the way that they sound, to feel the words in your mouth, and to shape your conscience around them. I can't think of a better exercise for the Christian than this.
You know, the Treasury of Daily Prayer has a hymn verse without music in every day's set of readings, and it's not a bad idea. In fact, I believe something else you put out, the Around the Word Devotions, has the same thing as well. It's a good meditation. You know, poetry, you said something very beautiful there. It is a recognition that language itself is an art, and that even though it's decayed, because it is, language is confusing, it changes, we have the diversity of languages because of Babel, which is actually part of the curse, that's all there, but it's still, language is a attribute of God, right? It is something that he has also delivered to us, and so to recognize that and not just speak pragmatically, but to speak with a belief that there is real beauty, that there is in fact a better way to say things, and then to take this true and ultimate beauty of the incarnation, death, resurrection, who Jesus is, and make that what we would speak, and then you combine it with the music, and music's its own art form, and you got like this massive first article tribute to the second article of salvation in Christ. It's really a great thing. You also said something fantastic about the Psalms. I mean, how doubly hard then is trying to read the Psalms, not just because they're poetry, but because they're Hebrew poetry that we've butchered simply by trying to put it in English. And there's really no way around that. You're going to butcher it. You translate poetry. You know, if you took, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, and put it into French, it's not going to rhyme anymore, right?
Right.
And rhyming is just a part of English poetry, and it's not even part of a lot of English poetry, but it is there. But Hebrew isn't really, well, it doesn't so much rhyme as it has these movements in its sound, and we lose all of that when we translate. Let's look at, you know, from O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? Give me another verse, and let's kind of pick it apart. Share some poetry here.
Yeah, sure. And one of the great things, especially about Advent and Christmas hymns, is that you're dealing with this mystery that the Lord who created everything is now comes into creation. That the Lord who is great comes in humility. And Advent gets a little bit of that splash over from Christmas, which makes for great poetry to put these things in contradistinction to each other. So I'm looking at the sixth stanza of O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? And it has something of that. He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations, and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious sun, now come, send forth your beams so cheering, and guide us safely home. But that stanza right there is such a beautiful piece of poem. Just a couple of things to point out. The first is that it puts the coming of Jesus it gives it to us from two different angles. The coming of Jesus is, in the first place, it's a terror to his foes. And yet, for those who are waiting for him, it's a light of consolation. And then the second thing is, with that language of light, it introduces a play on words that's going to come up in the sixth line here. It says, O glorious Son, capital S-U-N. So it speaks of Jesus, the Son of God, as the rising sun, the day spring from on high. And the second coming and the first coming are put together. The law and the gospel are put together. The image of darkness and light are bound up. And all of it is for our joy. It even says it, send forth your beams so cheering and guide us safely home. So that the sun, Jesus coming is pictured as a sunrise that brings us into the light of his salvation.
Right, out of darkness into light, which is a big part of the Advent imagery. Let me give you something here from my background as poetry too, and this is not your fault. This is an American problem, but there's a tool for reading poetry that we kind of lose, and I don't know why this happened. It just kind of intuitively happened, but when you're reading a poem, if there's a line break, it doesn't mean anything. You only pause if it's got an actual place to pause, like a comma or a period. So you want to read straight through, right? Yeah, so it's, he comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious Son, now come. Right.
Yeah.
And it just, it just flows so beautifully. Now that's, you know, of course, that's my background, whatever. But what you pulled out there well, too, though, and you hear it as this play between images that you can craft that prose just doesn't quite have the ability to do. Right.
No, you're right. You're right. Well, it's one of the difficult things as I've been trying, you know, for the last few days to engage these hymns as poems kind of anew is I'll start to read them and I start to hear the music in the background.
Huh.
And I start to kind of sing them even in my mind. And you're right. It's great to take the music away and to read them because it should be read just as you said there. And it helps put it all together. You stop in the middle of the line when there's a pause in the middle and you keep going at the end. And it lets you get the sense of it. So no, that's a really, I'm glad you corrected me on that because that's something I've been trying to correct myself on as we engage the hymns of as poems. And then this point that you make is really the chief question that we want to ask ourselves when we come to a poem, at least for me, this is what's most helpful, is to say, what's the picture?
Mm.
What's the image? I want to hear these words. But I don't just want to hear the words. I want to see the words. I want to know what it's painting. And this is especially helpful with the Psalms. You know, when we hear the Lord is my shepherd, this is painting this picture. And here I am in the picture as this little lamb, and the Lord is watching over me. And here's the green pastures, and here's the still waters. Or a mighty fortress is our God. I mean, there is the castle, and the enemies are coming up behind me, and I've gathered up my family, and I'm running into this fortress where I can at least be safe. And the joy of passing out up from the wilderness into the archway under the protection of the king, that's the image of these beautiful psalms. And so we want to try to capture that with our imagination and read the poetry that way so that we can see the picture. And then we realize that it's multiple pictures interacting with each other. And then the richness of the language starts to unfold before us. It's really wonderful.
I was wondering just the other night at midweek Advent services, I was pondering this idea of how do I help my son, who he's five, how do I help him hear this hymn that I'm just basically teaching him to sing just because it's a song? How do I help him hear that this is about a kingdom? that this is about another land, that all the stories he likes his mother to read him at home about knights and dragons, no, that's where we live. It just doesn't look like it, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually happening around us now. You know, you said that last verse was verse 6. You know, it isn't the same in the Lutheran service book. That's actually, or you said it was the last verse. In Lutheran service book is verse 6. My guess is that there's actually more verses to this hymn than are in our hymnals. Paul Gerhardt wrote pretty long hymns, so I don't know where the numbers all line up. But what in the Lutheran service book, verse 2 has this idea about Zion. Your Zion, that's the kingdom, that's the city. It strews before me. Your Zion strews before you green boughs and fairest palms. And I too will adore you with joyous songs and psalms. And then he knows how he plays on the idea of growth. My heart shall bloom forever for you with praises new, and from your name shall never withhold the honor due. My guest, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, talking about hymnody as poetry, and it's so good. I think I'm going to have him back on tomorrow. So, Brian, with about 15 seconds, can you tell us where they can go online to download this book of hymn poetry?
They can look at the website, wolfmuller.co, and there's a little books tab that you can find the book there, My Song is Love Unknown, Poems of the Good, the Beautiful, and the True.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we'll be back in a moment.